Well, what I learned from it is that there is a spiritual world, my brothers. Space. There's one occupied by us, and there's one occupied by spirits. I learned, if nothing else, I learned that there was a spiritual world. This was not a normal circumstance. And from that time on, I've been looking and ready for the Holy Spirit or whatever that was to show himself to me again. Maybe I'll learn more this time. Maybe I'll have the nerve to open my eyes. Who knows? Anyway, the point is, I consider that to be a miracle in my life. I'm not sure whether Rick ever spoke here or not. He did speak for sure to our Longmont group, the sister organization of this one. He's a pastor of a church called The Journey in Longmont, relatively young man. His background was as a farmer, I think from Iowa, almost everybody else is. And Rick tells a story of how, as he proceeded through college, he felt a calling to the ministry. So he answered the call. He went to school, some kind of seminary, and prepared himself to be a pastor. But as time went on, he had not yet formed a church or support. And he found himself back on the tractor, planting crops, or I don't know what he was doing, but he was on the tractor. And something hit him on the head, nearly knocked him off the tractor. And he heard a voice clearly say, "What are you doing, Rick? I've got you all set up here to become a pastor. What are you doing? You're figuring this out for yourself? What happened to me?" So he went ahead, started the church, and I'm sure he'd tell you right now that was a miracle and it worked for the good of himself and for the Lord. I hope you get a chance to hear him. He's a nice guy and a great speaker. That was a miracle. I thought I should mention some miracles that Jesus performed. Some of my favorites. He changed water into wine at the wedding in Capernaum. Who would have thought about that? Who ever heard of a guy changing water into wine? Do you remember the conversation between him and Mary and his mother? The host of the wedding would have been in deep doo-doo if he'd run out of wine. And it's kind of like Mary just figured Jesus, even though he hadn't yet performed any great miracles, could handle the situation, didn't matter what it was. She said to him, take care of it, Jesus. This is a bad situation. Help these folks. You remember Jesus' response? Mm-hmm. Woman, mm-hmm. It's not my time. What do you mean by that? He meant that he knew from a human perspective as well as a godly perspective that every time he committed a major miracle like this, he got closer to the cross. Every time he added to people's amazement, he became more of a threat to the temple of the day. The people who ran the show at the local church, synagogue, would be more and more angry as he added more and more to the people who followed him, and they would more likely follow him if the rumors got around about miracles. But he started that way anyway. Imagine Peter's response when he had come in from fishing, and here's this evangelist that his brother knew, And he said, go out again. Throw your nets. And Peter said, oh, you're not a fisherman, don't you know? We don't fish in the daytime at this time of year. This is the time of year we fish at night. Jesus said, go over there and throw out your nets. Well, I got a double haul, difficult for two boats to bring the fish in. And you remember Peter's reaction? He runs up to Jesus, kneels down before him, and says, get away from me, Master, for I am a sinful man. I want to ask you, brothers, does the thought of miracles scare you? Are you ready for a miracle in your life? Jesus stilled the storm. Even the creation obeys him. He cured the paralytic in front of the temple leaders, leading them to say, it's blasphemy to forgive sins. And setting Jesus up, unknowingly, of course, to ask, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or pick up your cot and walk? That was the first of many debates that Jesus knocked him dead. Some of these miracles were just for that purpose. He fed the 5,000 and the 4,000. He opened the eyes of a man born blind. Have you ever figured, gentlemen, what that took? This man has never seen. You know, even as babies, our eyes are fine. We can see everything, but we can't put the vision and the brain together. We don't know what we're seeing until we have some experience. This man had never seen anything. So Jesus did two or three surgeries at once in an instant. This, again, brought him really closer to the cross. I mean, can you imagine the rumors going around? Hey, this guy healed a man that I know from the time he was a baby, could not see. There's something special going on here. And the guys at the temple were saying, huh, we got to get rid of this guy. We're going to lose our jobs. The next of my favorites was even scarier to the temple folks, because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in front of a large crowd of Jerusalem folks gathered to offer their sympathies to Lazarus' daughters and sisters. This just about sealed the ultimate fate of crucifixion. As I mentioned to you in a message or so, I'm not sure, I remember which, I received a miracle dream from Jesus. My daughter died after a lengthy battle with cancer in 2018. She left a husband with three teenage daughters, and I did not handle the grief from that loss with the faith and trust and peace a man of faith should show. In fact, I was about useless as a witness or anything positive for 4 years. Then came the dream. The dream went like this. I died, went to heaven. First thing I did was look up my daughter. We got together. We were sitting down at a table talking. I was learning about heaven. And I was fiddling with my hands under the table. My daughter said, Dad, what are you doing? What are you doing down there under the table? And I said, well, I'm writing down all the people I want to see. I can't wait, and I don't want to miss anybody. I just, you know, if I don't write it down, I'll forget it. She said, Dad, there's no hurry. From that moment, guys, I realized what the difference is between eternity and 80 years on this earth. Do you know how long eternity is? Compare the time that we're going to be without ill health, with no more tears, no meanness, no sadness of any kind, when we're going to be with Jesus. That time doesn't wear out. It will make the time we've spent here look petty. We don't understand time until one has seen it from eternity. Have you ever thought about that? The length of time of the reward versus the length of time of whatever pain we might have during this life. It's a miracle. It was part of the plan from the beginning. It's a miracle. Now I want you to help me. You've got at least 5 minutes. I would love for you to raise your hand and tell me about a miracle that happened to you. Steve.
I'd like to come back to tell you the whole story. I had a near-death experience on July 5th in the morning accident. And my lungs were falling off. Rolled over at midnight, trying to figure out what's next, and God touched it.
You're not helping, but I'll help you. Okay.
I guess hopefully each one of us has had a miracle experience in our salvation. You know, I look at it as a miracle.
I believe it.
Yeah, so just when I had my knees injected, I was in Coeur d'Alene. And, you know, I look at a miracle as something that's just not within the natural realm, you know. And shortly after my procedure, God had three people that I knew call me within 10 minutes or, yeah, 10 minutes. Well, one person I didn't even know. Two people that I knew, my pastor and one of my good friends from college, called me. They didn't know I was getting the procedure. And then another stranger came up to me. We were walking, my wife and I were walking on a trail, and just asked if he could pray for us. And I felt like that was God using people to encourage me, to say, hey, I got this, I got your back. And to me, that was a miracle. Wasn't flashy, but it was God at work in my life.
Yeah, a little off some hints. We don't have time for you to use these hints. I was hoping you'd mention some of these things. Dreams, like the one that happened to me. The size and the scope of creation. Number of stars, music, beauty, watching newborns, foxes, bears, foals, puppies, thunder, lightning, snowflakes, rainbows, the human anatomy. You know how much blood is pumped by the heart in 7 years? It would shock you. I'm not going to tell you, look it up. The relationship between one's eyes and his brain. I'm asking you, brothers, to stop, look, and listen. We might be missing miracles even in process, missing a call to us to assist. We can help them with some miracles, you know. In fact, we're necessary sometimes. And to summarize, in terms of the Bible, I like the attitude of Paul in Philippians 4:8. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I believe and hope and pray that everyone here has experienced the grace of God. Everyone here has, though he was a sinner, forgiven. Everyone here has a power that accompanies him everywhere he goes. That's a miracle. Why should he love me so? Why should he love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go? Why? It's a miracle. Why should he love you so?